That was a phenomenal day in North Shore Alliance Church history. So many great elements, so much fun. Again, a family service, which is great. As Megan mentioned, my name's Brendan, and we have a family service, which is great. Kids, it's so great to have you in here. And do you know what the Bible says about you? The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. So you children are a gift to your families. And God desired that you would be in this world. And children, did you also know that you are God's gift to the world as well? Listen to what the Bible says about you. It says this: you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus in you so that you can do the good things that God planned in advance for you to do. Isn't that amazing? I think that's fantastic. Now, I do want to take a quick minute. If you volunteer in children's ministry, preteen, or youth, could you stand up and could we just give our volunteers for our children's, preteen, and youth ministry just a round of applause for all they do with our kids? Church doesn't run without volunteers, and we are very thankful for all of you. Now, our passage this morning is a little bit mixed up and kind of scrambled in my mind. And kids, I'm going to be honest, I need your help in order to find it. Do you think you could help me? And so just a quick caveat here, parents, if you do not want your children to be on camera, this service will be recorded. Please don't let them come up. Okay, just a quick caveat for those. But for the rest of the children, there are 14 envelopes taped under pews that have part of the verse. And so if everyone could check under the pews around them, and if you could get one of those 14 envelopes, there should be about two in each section. And if you are over 18, yes, you are children of God, but ideally, you will pass an envelope to someone who is under 18 who would be willing to come up here, and we're going to help them unscramble our verse for this morning. All right, so hopefully, anyone got one? We got some under pew diving. Oh, we got one over there. Excellent. So if you have an envelope and you're wanting to come on up, you can come on up. You can pull the paper out of it. Hopefully we'll recycle them. Hopefully we can find all 14. Daniel, there might be one in your row. I'm not sure. Or the row behind you. All right. Mike's got one. All right. Come on up. So I want you, so if you are coming up here, you are going to unfold this. Oh, welcome, welcome. And now we're going to try to help them to unscramble this Bible verse. How many do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That is a problem. There should be quite a few more. So there should be 6 more. Help us out. All right. So yes, 2, I believe 2 in each section. Hopefully something didn't fall and the custodians took them away or something. We're going to nail. Oh, we got another one over here. Oh, do you want to hold this one? Can you hold that one for me? Oh, excellent. Do we have another volunteer? Can I help you? Or you got 2. You can leave those there. We got a few more. Ollie, welcome. Cool. I'll make a pile over here. Do some recycling later. Now, children, can you turn with your words facing the crowd, and can some of you, can we help them unscramble these? Let's get this verse in the order. So facing the audience, that one says hinder. Hinder. What does that mean? Like stop from coming. Okay, so hold. Okay. How are we doing? So Evan, you want to come? Evan, you want to come over here? That'll be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Megan is on it. Let's get Mark and the letters at the very end. Do we have all 4? 1. Not yet. Not right now. The food is very tempting up here. Not gonna lie. It looks delicious. Thank you, team. Did we get it? Let the little children come to me. Where's the for the? Oh.
We need a do not. We're missing a do not. Do not hinder them.
Are we missing a?
We're missing one, but that's okay.
Oh. There we go.
Doing.
Can we get the slide up? We should have slide 2 on the screen. Are we missing one? We're doing pretty good here. All right, well, you know what? We've done quite well. We might be missing a few. Hopefully we'll get it next. We got 2 chances at this, another service. But anyways, can we give it up for our students? There you go. Get a little Jolly Rancher. Once you get a Jolly Rancher, you can go ahead and take a seat. So Caitlin, I'm sorry, not the bread, but have some candy. How about that? There we go. So you can all... You can, you know what, just take those back with your seat for you. Hopefully we can recycle them later. There we go. Excellent. Okay. All right. So thank you, kids, so much for helping me sort that out. Who can tell me who spoke these words? That's what I forgot to ask them. Oh, we got extra candy for that one. There we go. Megan's going to come on up and read the full passage for us. Oh, we got a few more.
Okay, so this is Mark 10:13-16. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Okay, first of all, kids, let's pause here. Do you know what indignant means? Indignant. Basically, that means when somebody gets really upset or angry because people are being treated unfairly. Now, this is cool because Jesus was really upset because the disciples were trying to stop the children from getting to him, and that wasn't fair. Jesus says, don't let anyone stop you from coming to me. Jesus said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive or welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them.
Father, we're so grateful for your word. God, we pray that you would bless us, your children, today in this service, and that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us. God, we pray that you would transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, can we get the next slide up there? It should have a map on it, and I love maps because to me, maps symbolize adventure, challenge, risk, and evidence of God the Creator. All right? And so you can see right at the top, Capernaum, right up there, is where kind of Jesus' home base. In our passage today, he takes about a 140-kilometer hike, and he would be in the area of Jericho, just a little bit above the Dead Sea there. So Mark 10:1 says, Jesus left that place and went into the region of Judea across the Jordan. And again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. And as Jesus was teaching, Jesus began to bring their children to be blessed by Jesus. And as it was Jesus' custom to teach the people, it was the people's custom to interrupt Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, he's always being interrupted. Last week, Pastor Dave spoke of the exciting story of 4 friends busting through the roof to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Interruptions bothered people around Jesus. They can certainly bother me, but did interruptions bother Jesus? It doesn't seem so. Jesus made time for the blind, the beggars, the woman bleeding for 12 years, for Roman centurions, for Pharisees, for everyday folk, and especially for children. Jesus is attentive and approachable. Jesus is attentive and approachable. And even though he was a busy man, though he had crowds of people always seeking his attention, he remained attentive and approachable to anyone, including the most vulnerable and children. So my question is, why did his disciples rebuke parents for bringing their children to Jesus? Well, potentially, children were not as highly valued and had very few rights at all in Jesus' day, and therefore, children should not be interrupting the very important work of this new amazing teacher. Jesus is bringing the kingdom of God, teaching a new way of life. He's healing. He can't possibly slow down to bless a few kids, can he? Well, Jesus is indignant, right? That means he's upset. He's angry at his disciples for treating the families poorly. And Jesus says, "Let them come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them." I just imagine Jesus thinking, "Who do you disciples think I am? Like, I'm not Santa Claus at the mall making children scream so their parents can have a cute, overpriced Christmas photo." Who has a children of their child screaming with Santa? Anybody? Just a few of us? All right. There you go. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus is God, the very creator who gives everyone life and breath, and he wants to bless the children. Who would have thought that the God who holds the universe in balance would be this attentive and approachable? And in Jesus, we learn that this is who God is. So no matter how big or small your problems or you are, bring them to Jesus. Do you know why else I think Jesus is just a wee bit angry at his disciples? If you look back in your Bible to chapter 9, like 10 paragraphs earlier, look at what Jesus had just taught his disciples. They had been arguing about who would be the greatest, you know, typical boy stuff. It's like a typical morning, afternoon, and evening in my household. No, I'm the best. Jesus takes the opportunity to teach them. Mark 9:35. Sitting down, Jesus called to the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me, God the Father." Jesus is instructing his disciples on kingdom values. In the kingdom of God, value is not placed on greatness as we might define it, but on service and humility and on helping the vulnerable. And therefore, when we welcome children, it's like welcoming Jesus and therefore God himself. To Jesus, everyone has value no matter what they can or cannot do for you. And to illustrate this point a little bit better, I want to invite the children up here one more time, and Sarah. I actually have VIP seating right here in this first bench. So Sarah's going to come here to read a story or a devotional for the kids. Yep, so Kaylin, come on up. So you can come on back, and kids can come here, and we're going to have a little kids' devo to help explain this point. So kids can sit on the bench or sit on the floor around. Sarah was one of our his kids or NSA kids interns this summer. This young lady is amazing. So super excited that she's going to come and read this devotional for us. This is called Shiny Pennies by Bob Goff's Love Does for Kids.
When I was little, I thought the candy store owner was the luckiest man in the whole world. He could have candy anytime he wanted. I visited him regularly, bringing with me the coins I had collected from my room rent. Back then, most pieces of candy cost just a cent or two. So every time I had a few coins, I would wander down to his store, walk around, and marvel at the jars of colorful candy lining the walls. I didn't want some of it, I wanted all of it. After I had made my selection, I would place the candy on the counter by the cash register and put all the change I had next to it. Learning how to count money had been hard for me, but the shopkeeper was kind, grandfatherly man who would lean over the counter and slowly help me count the coins, pausing to remind me what each one was worth. Most days, he would smile and nod after he got the correct amount, scoop up the change that was his, and hand the rest back to me. Usually, I didn't even make it out the door with my candy. Instead, I would sit in the shop while I ate it. I would watch the shopkeeper interact with the other customers in the same gentle, kind way, pausing in his friendly conversations to count the change, keep what was his, and return the rest. One day, when I brought my candy and change to the counter, the candy store owner didn't smile after counting my change. Instead, he sighed and said, "I think we're one penny short." I liked that he said "we" because it made me feel like I wasn't alone with my problem. After a moment, he said, "I have an idea." The shopkeeper reached behind him and grabbed a bottle of vinegar, some salt, and a cleaning rag. He picked up one of the salt. He picked up my old pennies, poured a little vinegar on it, added a pinch of salt, and rubbed it with the cleaning rag. I leaned in as if I were watching a magic trick. Slowly, my penny turned from a dull brown to a brilliant, shiny copper. The storekeeper looked up. "In my store," he said with a grin and a twinkle in his eye, "shiny pennies are worth double." Now I knew that shiny pennies weren't actually worth double, but I believed the shopkeeper the day because of who he was. Words spoken from kind people have the power to change everything. He liked me, and he owned the store, and he made up that rule just for me. In many ways, we're like my old penny that I offered to the storekeeper. We aren't enough on our own, but God still decides to see us as incredible value to him. This is called grace. God's grace is a lot like the candy store owner with a cleaning rag, making us brand new. The beautiful thing about grace is that we get to show it to others too. We can decide that people are worth a whole lot to us because they are also worth so much to God. We get to forgive people even when they hurt our feelings or take something away from us. And in this way, we can show them what God is like. We get to decide that shiny pennies are worth double.
All right, thank you, Sarah. It is so hard to find chocolate loonies these days. You know, there's a lot of inflation since Bob Goff's childhood. And so I do have a shiny toonie, which I'm going to give to this guy right here. But Megan, can I get everyone gets one more candy? Because we just had a story about a candy shop, and I can see their mouth watering. Anyways, thank you, Sarah. And I love this story because God, can we get the next slide, please? We got a shiny penny there, shiny toonie. Got to Canadianize it a little bit. God gives everybody immense value and worth. And Jesus proves that by bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And because we have immense value and worth, we also get to reflect that worth to others. All right? And so this is what the kingdom of God is about. It's about being loved by God, then loving God, next slide please, and loving others. The kingdom of God, being loved by God, and loving others. Now it can be a little bit, kids, you can go back to your seat, unless if you want to hang out there. That is the VIP lounge. It's all good. It can be a bit tricky to define the kingdom of God. A few weeks back, I defined it this way. The kingdom of God is God's kingly rule or reign over earth. And let me unpack that a little bit more. Scott McKnight says the kingdom of God has five different elements to it. The first one, a kingdom, of course, would have a king. Yes, and that, of course, is Jesus. And then the second one is the king rules or governs his people. And Jesus does this in two ways. The first way that Jesus rules is he redeems his people. All right, redeem is kind of a big word. It means to buy back, essentially. It's an economic metaphor. All right, and so Jesus buys us back. He frees us from our slavery to sin, and he rescues us from the dominion of darkness. And second is that governing. Jesus instructs us to live a new way of life. The third thing is subjects, all right, a people, in this case, the church. These people have been redeemed by God and are living and submitting to the authority of King Jesus, which is the fourth one, which is loyalty. Subjects need to be loyal, doing the will of God. In other words, following the teachings of Jesus, which is really summed up in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, or in the early letters to the church found in the New Testament, such as Paul's Christian ethics. All right, this is about our discipleship journey. In our discipleship journey, we'll have increasing levels of understanding, obedience, and action for King Jesus, and an increased awareness of God's presence. And then finally, a kingdom has land. In this case, it's the church. All right, in the Old Testament, there is the promised land of Israel, but in the New Testament, the land promise becomes a universal promise that's not just one area, but it's the whole world. God is king of all the earth. What does Jesus say in Acts 1-8? He says, yes, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth. We can bring Jesus everywhere, and by God's grace, Christians have taken Jesus, creating small kingdom communities of sacred spaces where God is present. And so Scott McKnight says, the kingdom of God is where we embody the will of God for this world in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And to sum up God's will from the Great Commandment, humanity is to love God and people with everything we've got. All right, loving God and people with everything we've got. And as we near the end, let's zoom in on verse 15. Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What does Jesus mean by this? I found two different paths from commentators this week. The first one and the more common one looks at children and how are they receiving gifts. And the second one geeks out a little bit on the original Greek language and says the wording could also be this. Anyone who will not welcome the kingdom of God like it were a little child will never enter the kingdom. Let's start with the second one and potentially a different way of reading this. First, the word receive could be translated either receive or welcome. In the English, receive is kind of a passive way of getting something, where to welcome something is more of an active thing that we choose to do. So therefore, we must choose to welcome the kingdom like we would welcome a little child, with open arms and love and delight. And then in this case, or if this is the case, Jesus is acting out a parable by then taking the children in his arms and blessing them. Jesus is saying, we need to welcome the kingdom of God like he is welcoming and embracing and blessing these children. Back to the first view. As we think about this stuff, so often in the Bible, there's layers of meaning. All right, so view one versus view two may not necessarily be one or the other, but it could be a both and. And that's not always the case, but I think here that could be helpful. So the first view, how do children receive gifts? With active joy and delight, kids love to receive presents. And let me ask this. Do children ever feel any obligation to pay back what they've been given? I don't think so. Children don't refuse gifts out of self-sufficient pride. They love you for your generosity, though. A little bit ago, or a few years ago, one of my family members gave one of my children a $50 bill for his birthday. And one of his cousins from my wife's side of the family was like, hey, can I invite him to my next birthday? They love it. Jesus' call is to welcome him as our king and welcome his gift of eternal life with open arms. We cannot pay Jesus back. We cannot earn our right to enter his kingdom, but we can welcome his free gift of Jesus into our lives and accept his offer. His offer of grace where God adopts us as his children and we become citizens of heaven. And one of the ways that we can do this is by partaking in the Lord's Supper, which we'll do in just a moment. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we're remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that bought our freedom, where our sin and wrongdoing is forgiven. The night before Jesus went to the cross, he was eating the Passover feast with his disciples. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body. Then he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they drank from it. Jesus said, This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the many. If you're serving communion, I invite you to come up and take your stations. We plan on having communion a little bit different today. And gluten-free will be over there. But communion a little bit different. If you have a family here today or a friend, I want you, your whole family, to come up to partake together, children included. And I want to offer that there will be two different ways that kids can participate. The first one is children can either come up and receive a blessing. So children can just cross their arms, and the communion servers will pray a real quick prayer of blessing over them while the adults partake in the element. And now, if you're not ready, whether you're an adult or a kid, you can just come up for a blessing. The second way children can participate is to receive communion. And in order to take communion, all of us should be aware that the bread and the cup represent Jesus' sacrifice for us. And parents, we will let you decide and choose. At North Shore Alliance Church, the age of consent is discerned by parents who determine if their children understand the meaning of the Lord's Supper. Just a little bit earlier this week, I ended up being 40 minutes late to pick up my boys from school. I got my twos and my threes mixed up. And on the way home, I said, "Hey, boys, if I give you some ice cream at home, will that cover over my mistakes?" And without skipping a beat, my almost 7-year-old proclaimed, "No, Daddy, only God can do that." Our kids are pretty clever. There's no junior Holy Spirit. Thank you, Sarah. Ice cream does it. Now, we realize many different churches and traditions have different regulations around communion. At North Shore Alliance Church, if your heart is open to Jesus and you are moving towards him, we are happy for you to receive the Lord's Supper. Jesus' arms are open and willing to welcome all who want to come to him. So, worship team, you can come on up. I believe we also have a prayer team, Janice and Kirsten, who would love to pray for you during communion and worship. Let me pray, and then we can partake in communion together. Jesus, we are so thankful for who you are and what you've done. We are thankful that you're not too busy for us and that you're attentive and approachable. We thank you that you give each of us immense value. Jesus, thank you for loving us and bringing your kingdom. Amen.